First of all, I want to say, Brother Strode, you did not make a mess out of that song. It was beautiful. I'll be taking a reading from Psalms number 107 in just a moment. First of all, I want to acknowledge some visitors that are here. My brother and sister-in-laws, J.C. and Margo Puckett, Lou and Revere Benson. They're special people. And I say that because I know that they prayed for me when I was lost. And that makes them very special to my heart. But you know, they not only brother and sister-in-laws, but they're like brother and sister. I want to thank the church for their prayer, for your prayers. On behalf of my mother, my brother and sisters, it's a hard thing we're going through, but I know the Lord's there and He'll help. The 107th Psalm, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, and they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The Lord placed this scripture upon my heart about 3 days ago. You know, sometimes the Lord will do that. He'll place a scripture on your heart and you'll look at it and you'll meditate about it, or at least I will. Pray about it, but it just don't seem like the Lord will reveal it to you until the time that is necessary. For myself personally, I have a good idea why He does that, so I don't get Ralph Davison in there and let him try to do what he thinks needs to be done, needs to be said. You know, just as the songs it was saying, the implications that were made in them, I'm nothing. I'm not worth the dirt that the Lord made me from. But you know, He saved my soul and He called me out to preach His word. And the Bible tells me, which is God's word, that He does qualify those that He calls. He don't call those that are qualified, and I definitely was not qualified of my own. But I asked you, continue in your prayers, that the Lord would qualify me here tonight, that I could speak the things that He would have me to speak, not what I think needs to be said. If we look there in that second verse, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you know, as I looked at that verse, it just kept coming to me, those that are redeemed, who are they? Who are those that this writer here is talking about? Well, I went to Noah Webster, and he gave this definition. He says, ransomed, delivered from bondage, distress, penalty, and liability. Delivered from bondage. The first thing that came in my mind was those children of Israel, how they were in bondage there in Egypt. And most all of you here tonight are familiar with how that God delivered them out of that bondage, how He sent Moses there, and He used His mighty hand. He sent those plagues down upon Egypt. And each time he did, Pharaoh hardened his heart, even making their burdens greater, the work that they had to do. He made it even greater upon them. But yet God, kept sending those plagues down. He kept sending Moses to Pharaoh. And you know, Pharaoh, he had planned to kill all the firstborn there of the children of Israel. But you know, God, he reversed that upon him. And he was going to send the death angel to take the firstborn of every one in the land of Egypt. And you know, I believe that included everyone that was there, including those children of Israel. But the God told Moses to take a lamb without spot and without blemish. A lamb that was perfect. And they were to kill that lamb, and they took the lamb, the blood of that lamb, and they put it upon the doorpost, each side, and upon the lintel above the door. And when the death angel come to take the firstborn of Egypt, every single one of them, when he saw that lamb applied, he would pass them by. You know, that is a perfect picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a perfect picture of what he did. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And he was slain, and his blood that is applied to each and every soul will protect that soul from death. Not the physical death of this body, but the death, the second death, of being cast into the lake of fire. I also thought about how that the three Hebrew children, I thought about them, how that they refused to bow down before that great image that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. O king, we will not bow down, they said. He took them and bound them up and took them up before that fiery furnace that they had fired up 7 times hotter than normal. But you know, those men that took them up there, when they took them up to cast them in, and they pushed them in, the fire and the furnace there was so hot it just immediately consumed those men. But you know, that is a picture of those that have not been saved by the grace of God. That very moment that God calls, each and every one of them that have not been saved will be cast into that lake of fire. But the only thing, you see, those men were burned up instantly. But you see, each and every one of those that have not been saved, they'll be cast in that lake of fire. They won't be burned up. You know how Moses saw that burning bush there, how that it burnt, the flame was there, but the bush wasn't consumed? That's how those lost souls will be. They will be there in the torments of hell forever and ever. They will be there to hear the screams of those other people that are there and never have a moment's rest. The stench of those that are burning and never be able to get away from it. And they will be there. But you see, when those Hebrew children, when they were cast into that fiery furnace, and they went down in there, the Bible tells us that the king jumped up out of his seat. And when he looked, he said, I thought that we'd cast in 3, but I see 4. And one of them is in the form of the Son of God. It was Jesus that came down and rescued them. And if you go on and you read that story, it tells you exactly how that when those three Hebrew children, when they were brought out of the furnace, there wasn't a hair of their head that was singed. They didn't even have the stench of the smoke upon their clothes. God had sent Jesus down into that fire to bring them out. God sent Jesus into this world for the very same reason for you and I, that we, each and every one of us, not one of us, being excluded. But he sent him into this world that each and every one of us could be delivered from those fiery pits of hell. You know, there's not a chance of escaping those pits on your own. The only chance, the only hope that we have is in our risen Savior. The one that came into this world and gave His very life's blood that each and every one of us could have a chance for an eternal life there in heaven with God the Father and there with Jesus, the Lamb that was slain and gave His blood for us. And then I think about myself. I was in bondage. Just like every one of you here tonight that's been saved. You were in bondage. You were in the bondage of sin. You heard the gospel. And that gospel went deep into your heart, just like it did mine. And it caused trouble and sorrow, like the psalmist said. But you know, every time that I'd get to a place where it was quiet or whatever, I'd start thinking and the Lord would start moving on my heart. And there would be such trouble in there that I couldn't stand it. I'd get into a place where I'd go into a room or a closet. I even literally went into the bathroom and shut the door and prayed into the Lord. Because I'd read in the book of Matthew to enter into your closet. But you know, that's not the closet that He's talking about. Those of you who are saved know that you've got to turn away everything of this old world. You've got to turn it away and allow yourself to get into a place where it's just you and the Lord. There could be 100 people around. I know when I was saved right here. I know that there was people here because we was in a revival. And there was a lot of people here in this altar. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But there was a lot of people here standing in this altar. And they were all praying for me. I know they were. But just because of the things that has happened since. And I can see seeing them come up and pray for other people. I know they were. I know that they were singing songs, but you know, as I was bowed down there upon that old altar, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know who was here. I didn't know who was praying. I didn't know who was singing. The only thing I knew was that I was in trouble, and there was only one thing that I could do, and that was call upon the Lord. And you know, as I was down there praying, I got to a place where I just said, Lord, here I am. And it was just like the Lord just put His hands under my arms and just raised me up off that altar. You know, there was a peace that come in my heart, a peace and a joy. And it was just like there was a bucket of water dumped on my head and it just came, I could feel it running all down. That was the blood of Jesus being applied to my heart. It was washing away the sin that was in me. I was in bondage. But you know, ever since that very moment, I have been redeemed. Just like each and every one of you that have been saved. You know, I don't know your hearts. I've heard testimonies from most everyone here tonight. There's people that attend here every week. Even some members of the church that I've never heard them stand and testify. And you know, that bothers me. Because when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, there's a joy that's in there. And a joy, and I don't know about you, but when that joy's in there, sometimes the Lord will put it on you and it just bubbles over and you can't contain it. And that's the way each and every one of us needs to be. I know sometimes we get cold. I get cold. But you know, there's a remedy for that. Just like what you had to do when you got saved. You've got to bow down upon your knees and cry out to God to forgive you for whatever it is that's caused you to back away from Him. You know, He can put that joy back in your heart. And He can put it there and you will rejoice. Lord help. Webster always goes on to say, or from possession of another by paying an equivalent. By possession of another. Each and every one of us, when we're born into this world, we're born with that sinful nature within us. Because of what Adam did when he ate of that tree of the knowledge and good and evil. That is born within each and every one of us. If we look over in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, is after Adam had committed that sin against God. He was talking to Satan here, and he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You know, we talked about there, Webster did, he said, possession of another. You know, when we're born into this world and born a sinner, and each and every one of us are, we have that sinful nature within us. And the devil, he has a hold on us. He has a hold on us. A lot of times we'll see people come in and we'll see them sit under the preaching of the gospel. And they'll just sit there. And the gospel being preached, the truth of God's word, not in deceit, but the truth of God's word. And they'll just sit there. You see, the old devil's got a hold on them and keeping them from hearing the truth to where it will go down into their heart. That's where we, as God's children, we need to be prayerful. Praying for those lost souls, that they would be able, that God would open their ears and open their hearts, that they would be able to hear, that word would go down in there, just like it did with you that day, that you heard the word. You know, there's so many people in this world. So many, not only those that come into this church house, but there's places all over the world that needs to hear the word. We hear about those in the mission fields, those in Jamaica. You see, the devil's trying to get his hand hold there. That church building, it burnt down. The devil's trying to get in there and he's trying to get a hold on it because he knows that the word is being preached there and there are lost souls that have been saved. And he's trying to prevent any more from being saved. We as God's people, we've got to get busy and be, just as it said here in the second verse of we read, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We of God's people, we've got to be willing to say so when the Lord impresses upon our heart to give the testimony of how we heard the word and how we bowed down, whether it be in an old altar, whether it be in a fence row, whether it be on our bed at home. No matter what it is, if He tells you just to stand up and sing, whatever it is, the Lord can use that song. The words in that song, He might use something in your testimony that would touch the heart of some lost soul that they would be able to hear. Wouldn't that be worth everything that you could ever do? Just to be able to see one lost soul be saved. Just to be a witness. Yes, I know we've been here many times and we've seen lost souls pop up off the altar. We've seen them back in the back row back there in the seats come up and say how that the Lord had saved their soul. And it was such a blessed time. But you know, we can't be satisfied with that because there are so many people out there that need to be saved. They're going to hell, people. They're going to hell. And we've got the truth that will help them. We've got the truth within us. God placed His Spirit within the heart of each and every one of us. And we've got that Spirit there that we can let it go. He will let us know when it is. Let the redeemed say so. If you've been saved by the grace of God, stand up and let it be known. People need to hear it. And when they hear it, they will know. They won't only hear you saying the words, but if you're doing it in the Spirit, they will feel it. They'll be able to feel in their heart what God has placed in your heart. They'll be able to know. I want to go over to the book of Matthew. You have to excuse me, my eyes are a little teary. Chapter 4, in the book of Matthew, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went out throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed by devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. The old devil's got a hold on people. Back here in the Old Testament, it talked about people having devils within them. Jesus spoke, and they went out. He can do the same thing today, but you know, Jesus, he's not physically in the world. But his spirit is within each and every one of us. And he gives us something to say, and we can talk to them, and we can tell them the gospel. We can tell them how that we have been saved, what we had to do, what we went through, that trouble that we had. And it will put that trouble in their heart. You know, when I first come to this church, the very first time I come to this church, you know, there wasn't a word said from the pulpit other than what the announcements were that day. The people, the children of God, the Spirit moved on them. And you could see them just standing up, just one here, one there, just right after the other, standing up and testifying and telling what the Lord done for them. You know, for me that was lost, that had never heard that. You know what that did to me? I could see it. I could feel the testimonies that they had. And I knew that they had something. But I couldn't touch it. I couldn't put my finger on it. But I could feel it. And it helped to put that trouble in there. Yes, there was a sermon that was preached how that you had to have a time and a place when the Lord saved your soul. Most every one of you here tonight know that I was deceived. When I was younger, there was a man that stood up, raised his hand, and asked me if I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You know, I said yes, but you can go on any street corner. You can go down here at McDonald's. You can go anywhere in Bowling Green or anywhere in the world for that matter. And you can ask him, and they will say yes, because they have heard about Jesus, but yet they've not heard about him in truth. They've not heard how that you must go to him and repent of your sins. They think that all they got to do is go up to some man, he'll raise his hand, and they're okay. That's not it, people. They got to go to the Lord himself. And we have that truth within us. And we've got to be willing to go out to them and talk to them and tell them. If we don't, they're going to die and go to hell. A lot of them are the people that we know, the people that we love, people that we know are going different places and hearing things that are not true. And they don't have that. But we do. And we can share it with them. You know, God gave us a commission to go out into all the world. That wasn't just to those that he called out to preach. That was to each and every one of his children. Those that have been saved. If you have a testimony within your heart, a time when the Lord touched your heart, you can be a witness unto them. You see, there's times when those that have been called out to go preach the gospel, the people turn away and they'll shy away when the very moment that they find out that I'm a preacher, a lot of times they'll just kind of shy away. But yet, those children of God, those that go out to their jobs and labor every day, that person that's working next to them, you know, it might be that the Lord puts upon your heart and you're just humming a song. And you know, they'll hear that song
and they might say something about it, and that door's open. It's open wide, and you can tell them how that the Lord saved your soul. And that's an opportunity for another lost soul to come, another lost sheep to be found. Wouldn't that be worth it all if we could do that? If we would only be willing. Let the redeemed say so. As I said, as most of you know, my father passed away there about around Thanksgiving. I'd never heard a testimony of when he'd been saved. I don't remember ever going to church with him. I don't ever remember him going to a church unless it was to a funeral. After he was gone, we were sitting there. We were sitting there at the house. We were talking. I think it was my cousin asked me to sing a song. I tried. But then my aunt started talking. She got to talking how that they used to when they was young, and this was my dad included, how they used to have a piano there at the house. And they used to all gather around it and play the piano and sing gospel songs. You know, people, that's the only hope that I have that my dad was saved. My mother, now, with the problem she's having, I don't look for her mind to be in a place where she would be able to understand the gospel, to be saved. I've never heard a testimony. But I have heard my aunt at that same night told me how that her and three of her friends used to dress alike. They'd all wear white dresses, and back then they couldn't buy dresses just exactly alike. But they'd go around to different places and they'd sing as a quartet. And you know, that blessed my soul. But that is the only hope that I have, that they're going to meet me there in that heavenly city. That new Jerusalem that's going to come down from God out of heaven. That's the only hope that I have. I beg, if there's someone here tonight, if you've not told your testimony, if you've not told that you have been saved in any manner, I beg you to tell it. I don't know. Just so your loved ones would be able to have that comfort. But not only that, even more important, that another lost soul would be able to hear. To be able to hear you say that you've been saved. You know, God will use that. Just as He's used it here in this building many times. To touch the heart of a lost soul, that they could be saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've been in the bondage of sin. We've had that trouble in our hearts, and we know what it is, and it's a terrible thing. But you know, we as God's people, we need to be praying that that trouble and all that terrible stuff would come upon each and every one of them, because that is the only way that they're going to be able to find their way to our God in heaven. We need to be telling them about our Jesus, my brother. We're all joint heirs with Him. If we've been saved, there are so many in this world that have not. We need to get busy. We need to get busy and tell every one of them that we can possibly get to. If we don't, they're going to die and they're going to spend their life in hell. I said life. You know, each and every one of us, when God created us, He made us a living soul, and that soul is going to continue on through eternity. Those of us that have been saved, we're going to have eternal life, and it will be a life. It'll be a life there with God in that heavenly city, the gates of pearl and the streets of gold. Think of all we've got to look forward to. But then again, our hearts ought to be sad. Our hearts ought to break when we see those lost souls, when they come up to this altar and try to pray. Our hearts ought to be in a place where we can bow down and we can pray for them just like our souls were lost. When our souls were lost, how we cried out and we had to beg God. We need to be begging God in their behalf that He will put that trouble within them just like we had. Just like those parents that we had that told us about it. Just like every person that has ever been saved. They had that trouble in their heart. And they had to bow themselves down and humble themselves to the Lord just like a little child. We need to be praying to God that He will help them just like He helped us. And He will, but we need to be praying. I heard my wife say earlier there's not a prayer she's prayed that the Lord hadn't heard, and I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. He hears every prayer. And if we will pray for them, whatsoever you pray for, believing. You see, that is the key. We have to believe with all of our heart, just like we believed in Jesus and the sacrifice that He made with all of our heart, knowing that He did die upon that cross, knowing that He did shed His very life's blood, that each and every one of us could have a home in heaven. We need to be praying. I hear stories many times about people, how that they would hear their mama or their daddy off somewhere by themselves praying for them, and they'd mention them by name. You know, we need to get to a point where our hearts are burdened enough for each one of them that we can cry out for them by name and not be afraid to do it that will hurt their feelings. You know, when I was lost and I was back there, when the Lord was dealing with me and I was holding upon that bench, there was pride holding me there. I thought, well, all these people that are here is going to see me. You know, God can take that pride away from them just like He did from me and humble them down, and they won't be able to stand it. And they'll cry out to Him for the salvation of their soul in the very moment. And I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But the very moment that they are able to humble their hearts and cry out to God, believing, He will save their soul. Wouldn't that be worth it all? That's what the Lord's placed upon my heart tonight. And I pray if there's someone that's lost, I pray that you'll seek after the Lord. But again, I want to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.